the Chicago Bulls versus Miami Heat, eighth seed play-in tournament game, and Philadelphia 76ers New York Knicks series preview on the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is right around the corner, and Old Fashioned Football Podcast is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April the 18th. Here to recap what we saw in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament games last night. We'll also preview the eighth seed matchup between the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. And we'll also preview the Philadelphia 76ers, who will be taking on the New York Knicks in the 2-7 matchup on this episode. But joining me here to help me break everything down in the Eastern Conference, you guys know him as the voice of the Tennis Gambling Podcast, the WNBA, the MLB, and of course here on the NBA Gambling Podcast, it's Scott Sudi-Rachel. Scott, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Another good day for my agendas. Had a pretty good day with the agendas for the Western Conference playing games. To recap those, Ingram got benched in the fourth quarter. McCollum was terrible. Clay didn't score a point. That was probably the biggest win that I had in the Western Conference play-in. And then Trae Young played yesterday, and he was easily the worst player on the court for the entire game. So, yeah, good day for my agendas once again. So I don't know if you can parlay those agendas, but I feel pretty good right now.
Yeah, minus 27 plus minus for Trae Young last night, and it wasn't even close. The next closest guy was DeAndre Hunter, who had a really bad shooting night. He was minus 16. Everybody else was either less than minus at least at starters, there were less than minus six or in the plus. But yeah, we'll start with last night. I think we'll save the Miami Heat game for the second part of it. But I don't think there's a lot to talk about this Bulls and the Hawks game. As bad as their defense has been all season, it continued yesterday against the Chicago Bulls. They gave up 40 points in the first quarter. Hawks did respond, coming out on a 15-0 run in the second quarter. But then, again, same story in the third quarter. The Chicago Bulls outscored the Atlanta Hawks 37-25 and ran away with that game. They get the victory 131-116, and they obviously will be facing the Miami Heat to determine who becomes the eighth seed to take on the Chicago Bulls. You mentioned it. Trae Young was absolutely terrible last night. Did finish with a double-double. The box score looks good, but if you're actually watching this game, not much defense being played, had some terrible turnovers in that game. DeJounte Murray was really the guy that was keeping this team, or the Hawks team, at least within striking distance, especially in that second quarter. But other than that, it was just a lot of garbage time points scored by some of these starters for the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, for the other side, I think it was a total team effort last night from the Chicago Bulls, led by Coby White. Career high, which unfortunately doesn't count for anything. 42 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 15 of 21 from the floor. DeMar DeRozan, again, doing DeMar DeRozan things, 22 points, 9 assists for them. The Bulls shot 56.8% from the floor and 42% from three-point land. And again, they were the better team last night by a mile. They get the victory there, 131-116 there, Scott.
Yeah, I feel like the only question for the Hawks, besides which player you're supposed to trade between Murray and Trae, spoiler, it's Trae, in my opinion. I would keep DeJounte. At least DeJounte cares. Yeah. At least he showed up for the game last night. Trae didn't give a damn. So I would trade Trae away. But I guess the only question for the Hawks from that game yesterday, who was worse, Trae Young or DeAndre Hunter?
Trae Young.
I think I probably agree because he had the ball in his hands more, but damn, DeAndre Hunter sucked last night.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, this is another team that in the offseason we'll see what type of moves that they'll Meg, you mentioned that. I don't want to necessarily say the trio is not the duo is not working. It's just that I don't think that Trae Young is the type of player that elevates his teammates or makes the team better. Like, we know individually he's a great scorer. He can rack up the assist. But when it actually comes to winning basketball, Trae Young doesn't fit that mold for me. So I think for the Atlanta Hawks.
I've been saying that for years. That's why I'm anti-Trae Young.
Yeah, so I think that we'll see what the Atlanta Hawks probably end up doing. And I think he's the one guy that will be possibly on the moving list. DeJounte Murray just wants out of Atlanta, just wants to go to a different situation. So Riley really did have a lot of takeaways from this game between the Bulls and the Hawks. The more exciting game of the night and the more intriguing one was the one we talked about, the Sixers and the Miami Heat. Oh boy, let's start with the side and the total in this game, because it, like we talked about it on the Mothership show with Sean and Kramer, that it was going to come down to the wire. It's going to be determined that final minute, and that's exactly what happened. You know, we said Sixers probably do get the outright victory and the Heat do cover the spread, and that did happen. 105-104 victory last night for the Philadelphia 76ers. A BS, in my opinion. Foul call or away from ball foul on that inbounds play that was called against Nicholas Batum that gave Tyler Hero the free throw. And then Hero hits a three at the end. I think at that point, the Heat were already covering 105-101. It was more into to the total, which was around 205.5 to up to the most I saw, I think, was 208. But damn, that's a really bad beat on the under if you had there. It looked really, really good in that first half, especially in the first quarter. But the offense has really showed up in that third and fourth quarter and does get over the total. But we'll talk about player performance here in a second. But 105-104, there's man, that's some bad beats for some people.
Yeah, I feel bad for the total bettors, players, people that had the under. I think you had 66 points in the fourth quarter. You had like 32 points in the last 3 minutes, which is disgusting. Yeah. And then Hero, of course, hits the meaningless three at the end where they couldn't win the game, but he drains the last shot. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers to people who had the under 207.5, 208. As for the actual game itself, Miami went to their BS zone, and it worked for about a half, which is what I thought would happen because they always do it, and teams don't really prep for zone. Because Miami's the only team that actually uses it, and it works out pretty well. Bowler had four steals. The Sixers were chucking the ball to the other team the entire first half, and then they figured it out. Kinda. Mostly because of one man. Probably not somebody you expected. Nicholas Batum was phenomenal last night. I thought he was the best player on the floor. Embiid was pretty bad for about three quarters, but I'm going to give Embiid props. He was really good in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah,
he was really, really good in the last 3 minutes. And there were a couple of really dumb self-inflicted wounds by Miami. I know one of the props I gave out on yesterday's show for the underdog lineup, Terrell and I did an underdog lineup as well. We ended up going with Hawkes higher than 6.5 points. Yeah. I bet it. I encouraged everyone else to bet it. I thought that line was too low. Hawkes was good. He had 7 points in the first half, but he was responsible for one of the back-breaking mistakes that ended up costing Miami at the end, because Embiid, what kind of got him going there in the last couple minutes was his classic rip through on Hawkes at the top of the key with like 3 minutes to go, where they were in the bonus. So that gave Philly two free throws. You can see Spo was losing his mind on the sideline. But okay, it happens. You know, you end up seeing Embiid get two free throws. Then Hawkes gets the ball on the inbound, and he's dribbling the ball up court, and he gets stripped from behind by Kyle Lowry, and he turns the ball over literally about 5 seconds after, like as he's crossing half court. So Hawkes immediately gave up possession after that. And then you ended up seeing Embiid have the and one. He had the nice and one pass to Oubre, or I should say the pass to Oubre for the and one at the end. Embiid was really good in the last 3 minutes. Now, he looked injured throughout the entire game. He was still flopping all over the place. Some of the flops ended up working. Some did not. Had a hard time with the jump shot. Also forgot to mention he did hit a three-pointer late in regulation, but no, Embiid was great down the stretch. He looked really good. Maxey was kind of quiet for most of the afternoon. Tobias Harris was playoff Tobias Harris. He was god-awful in that game, but Batum carried for a decent portion of the, I'd say, danger zone period where Philly was in danger of letting the game get away from them, and Batum made a lot of big three-pointers to keep him in it, And then Embiid did what MVP players are supposed to do. Whether you are struggling or playing well for the first 44 minutes or so, you got to show up in crunch time. And Embiid actually showed up in crunch time. So I'll start off with the actual game. We'll talk about the injury in a second that everyone wants to talk about. But I'll give Embiid props. For a guy that's had a lot of playoff missteps and a guy that's been known as a bit of a choker, he did show up in crunch time last night. I'll give him props there.
Yeah, and again, we talked a lot about the supporting cast when you get to the playoffs, right? And last night, it was Nicholas Batum. It was Kelly Oubre. It was Buddy Hield as well. I know it didn't show up in the box score that he was only 1 of 5 from three-point land, but he did also have 6 assists in that game. And I think the two plays that really propelled the Sixers to the victory last night was in those final couple of minutes that Batum had that backcourt violation he forced Tyler Hero into, and then also the block shot. I think it was a possession after that where he blocked Tyler Hero's shot. So by far the best player last night on the floor for either team was Nicholas Batum. He had some great clutch three-point shots to keep his team within striking distance or even, you know, get them back in the game. And, I mean, you mentioned it, right? Defensively, he did well as well. And Joel Embiid, you know, he's going to be injured, but he showed up when it matters, like you mentioned. And I think that's what star players, all-star players do, superstar players do. He made the, like you mentioned, the great pass to Kelly Oubre. He had a clutch three-pointer, knocked down free throws. So I feel like this Sixers team, it was a total team effort last night and didn't have to completely 95% of the time like they have in the past rely on Joel Embiid to do everything. So they had guys step up, which is a breath of fresh air if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan. On the other side, Miami, right? Tyler Hero, 9 of 27 from the floor. I mean, this is one of the guys that we talk about a lot that has the ultimate green light, and that's going to continue now. We'll talk about the Jimmy Butler injury that's going to sideline him for multiple weeks now. But he was the guy last night, 25 points. You mentioned Jaime Jaquez as well. But other than that, I mean, no Bam really didn't show up last night. He only had 9 shots, did finish with a double-double, did a great job of rebounding the basketball. But offensively, they need somebody else to step up. And I don't know if that's the absence of Duncan Robinson, not having another shooter out there, or having a more efficient scoring night, because between Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero last night, those two guys combined to go 14 of 45 from the floor. So give a lot of credit to the Sixers. They were able to fight back. I think I saw a stat that said that when the Sixers were trailing by double digits, I think it was for the season, they were 0-12 straight up.
I think the exact number was when they were trailing by 12 plus points entering the fourth quarter, they were 0-12. I think that was the number.
Okay. So then, again, like you mentioned, right, Joel Embiid stepped up when it mattered the most. In Batum there as well. So Sixers on to face the New York Knicks. We'll preview that series here in a minute. But obviously the big news in this game, Jimmy Butler goes down with an MCL injury. Toughed it out. He played the final 3 minutes. Oh, sorry, for the final second half. Or sorry, for 3 quarters, he ended up still playing in that game where Kelly Oubre landed on his knee. It's now classified as an MCL injury for Jimmy Butler. That will keep him sidelined indefinitely. At least for 2-3 weeks at minimum. We'll see if Miami wins this game against Chicago. We'll preview that game here as well. But it's just unfortunate that, again, Jimmy Butler hasn't really been able to stay healthy during the regular season. Last year, he was hurt as well during the playoffs. He also didn't have Tyler Hero. So it's just unfortunate that this Miami team has not been able to be healthy all at the same time. And, I mean, the potential we know about this Miami Heat team is that they can make a run to the NBA Finals, right? We've seen that multiple times, and not having their star player now in Jimmy Butler, it just sucks if you're a Miami Heat fan. So, I don't know much more to add to that. They'll be without Jimmy Butler, but now you're going to have to rely on a guy like Tyler Hero, who's probably going to end up taking another 25 to 30 shots. Hopefully he's a little bit more efficient, but somebody else is going to have to step up. I don't know if they'll get Terry Rozier back or Duncan Robinson back or not, but just a huge blow for this Miami Heat team.
Yeah, I'll get into the Butler injury in a second. Talk about Hero for a second, because he was very inefficient from the floor last night. I don't even know if I could fully blame Hero, because I don't know what Miami was doing offensively the entire game. I don't think Miami knew what they were doing offensively the entire game. That's why it was a bit embarrassing that Philly was down that much, because you were watching Miami offensively. The refs were letting them play. Bam and Embiid looked like they were wrestling each other in the paint every possession. So that was a complete just... I don't even know what you want to call it, but that was basically a scrum, a wrestling match in the paint. So
yeah,
that was just the refs letting them play. Bower, like, either couldn't move or he couldn't generate a lift on the jump shot, but he was 5 for 18. So yeah, injury, no injury. He was basically a lost cause offensively yesterday. And Hero had to shoot a lot, especially late in shot clock situations. It felt like Hero was the guy who was given a bunch of grenades, a guy that had to chuck the ball up with 2 seconds on the shot clock, and they had nothing going the entire game. So Miami's defense was the story in the first half. They had a decent amount of steals that led to fast break points, which was a big reason why they were up by so much. Miami's half-court offense was disgusting. And you can blame that on Hero and Butler for being inefficient. But in reality, I think part of the blame is also just lack of talent. And I even have to blame Spo a little bit, because I don't know what they were trying to do offensively the entire game. At no point did I notice any type of actual game plan. It felt like the ball was in Butler and Hero's hands the entire game. They would call a couple of on-ball screens, and that was it. They just ended up chucking up a bunch of bad shots late in shot clock situations. And the main source of Butler's points were him trying to flop into some free throws, which is what we know Jimmy Butler does. So yeah, I'm going to blame that more on coaching. Yes, I think Hero could have been more efficient, but I think you would agree a lot of the shots they ended up taking were very tough late shot clock situations, because Miami didn't really make any type of adjustments offensively throughout the entire game.
Yeah, and again, I think that, again, when Jimmy Butler was injured, I mean, we knew that he was going to be very, very limited. There was a three-point shot that he had hit. I mean, you could barely see him.
There, like, was no lift on any of
even,
his
jump shots. Yeah. And then, again, when you don't have a player like Terry Rozier who could initiate offense, knock down shots for you as well, it just became then Tyler Hero trying to create something for this Miami Heat team. And outside of that, I mean, Caleb Martin's not really a guy. Bam's really not that guy as well that can, you know, create his own offense. And then, I mean, when you have Kevin Love coming off the bench, Highsmith, DeLon Wright, Jaime Jaquez, it's just not a lot of guys that can create their own shots. And I think you and I have talked about that a lot. That's something you need in the playoffs if you're going to make a run. So we'll see if they get Terry Rozier back, if they get Duncan Robinson back, adding another shooter out there for this Miami Heat team against the Chicago Bulls for that eighth spot.
They need Rozier more, by the way.
Yeah, they're 100%. An actual
ball handler. They need somebody who can create off the dribble. I know Robinson's improved in that area. Yeah. He has become a better dribbler. But we would agree that Duncan Robinson's going to be more of a catch-and-shoot guy off of screens. They need somebody to actually break down a defense. Because Butler could not move, and Hero was forced to do it himself. And we know Hero is better off being a third option on a really good team?
Yeah, probably a third option. Right now he has put himself, or the injuries have put him into the number one guy right now.
Yeah, he had to be one last night, and he's not good enough to be one, but I'm at least going to point out that Miami offensively with Spoelstra really didn't make any adjustments at all, and a lot of their possessions were hideous.
Yeah. So now we'll see the Philadelphia 76ers. They will be taking on the New York Knicks as the 7th seed against the 2 seed, and then we'll see we'll break down the game here in a minute between the Heat and the Bulls to determine who will be the 8th seed to take on the number 1 seed.
I got to dive into the Butler injury, though. That was the first point I wanted to make. It was just Hero. Yes, he was not efficient last night. Yes, he's not a number one option. In reality, Spoelstra did not do his team any favors. They had no offensive game plan the entire game. And I know Spoelstra is a great coach, probably the best coach in the league, easily a future Hall of Famer. I got to call him out last night. The offense was abysmal, and I have to at least point that out. Now, for the actual injury, we've seen a couple injuries in the play-in already, with Zion being out for the second play-in game that I talked about with Terrell yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then you have Butler, who's going to be out for probably a couple weeks with an MCL injury. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird because, of course, as a basketball fan, we immediately feel robbed of not being able to see playoff Jimmy, and how Miami might actually lose now to Chicago. And a lot of people thought that Miami was going to be a dark horse team to make a deep run, because that's what they always do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a personal thing, and it's going to be an interesting slant, because I'm sure a lot of people might disagree with me. I really did not feel much sympathy for Jimmy Butler last night. Maybe it was because of the fact that he did the Slam magazine piece right before the game, talking about how, oh yeah, don't mess with us, You know, we mean business. Nobody wants us in a seven-game series. And you might immediately lose in the play-in and just not make the playoffs at all. So maybe that was part of it. Yeah. Or maybe it was just the way that he actually got injured. Butler has a somewhat open layup because Love has another phenomenal outlet pass with like 4 seconds left in the first quarter. So Butler can just go up with it. Instead, he tries to triple pump fake Kelly Oubre and then takes some fadeaway leg sticking out garbage and he gets injured. Did that look like a basketball play to you?
I think it was a draw. He was trying to get the end one on that. But again, it was fluke injury, I guess we can say, the way that he landed on him. I mean, he could have
landed
up
on him. And yes, Oubre was aggressive with his contest. He was flying through the air. I get it. It was a bit reckless. All I'm saying is Butler, the entire game, was trying to foul bait. Whether he was injured, whether he was not injured, it was disgusting to watch. And the one play he got injured was when he tried to do two pump fakes instead of just going up with it. And then he tries this leg stick out nonsense, trying to draw a foul on a fadeaway when he's 5 feet away from the basket. I understand it's an injury. I understand it sucks. That was not a basketball play.
Yeah.
I don't really care. He drew the foul at the end, so he ended up going to the line. But he basically got himself injured, as far as I'm concerned, because whatever that was by the rim, that was not a basketball play. Go up with it and try to finish. Don't hit me with this fadeaway 5 feet from the basket, sticking your leg out into contact, trying to draw an and one. It was a foul baiting maneuver, and he got injured because of it. So yes, I know it sucks as a basketball fan, and yes, I know we wanted Jimmy to be healthy. I'm at least going to call that out. It was a foul baiting move. He got himself injured. People are calling Oubre out for it. If Butler makes an actual basketball play instead of trying to manipulate officials, he probably doesn't get hurt.
I don't think you could blame Kelly Oubre for it. Whoever is blaming Kelly Oubre, it's just one of those plays. I mean, in NBA,
Butler put his leg in a bad spot because he was trying to draw a foul call.
Yeah, and when you're trying to draw a foul call, I mean, we've seen more times than not that there's going to be some type of contact, whether it's in the air or whether it's coming down and guys landing on each other. And unfortunately for Jimmy Butler, that Kelly Oubre landed on his knee. I mean, it's nobody's fault, I don't think. Again, it's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler plays the game that he, like, especially like you mentioned, right? He tries to get the foul,
to go to the foul free throw line.
Yeah. And
you said that it was nobody's fault. Butler decided when he was near the rim, listen, I could try to go up with this, or I can try to go to the foul line, and I will try to get fouled, and I will try to force contact on Oubre, and the contact hurt your knee.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say. So once again, it sucks as a basketball fan. You can let me know in the comment section if it's a hot take or not. I didn't feel as bad with the Jimmy injury as I did for the Zion injury, because Zion was actually making a basketball play. Zion went up for a floater at a three-point game. He had 40 points, and he got injured. Butler got injured trying to foul bait. And I think that's what he was doing. I think we'd agree with that. Because whatever that fadeaway was 5 feet from the basket was a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. I feel bad for the guy? Yeah, I
feel
do.
Bad
I mean,
in general. I'm just saying it was like in the moment I'm looking at it going, well, Butler clearly was just trying to draw contact there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the point.
Yeah, so he'll be out at least, I think, minimum 3 weeks. We'll see even if the Miami Heat are able to advance. Yeah,
he might be 2 days because then he'll be on vacation. So
yeah, so we'll see if Miami's able to advance against Chicago when they do play for the eighth seed on Friday night. Before we move on in the episode here, let me tell everyone about a giveaway that's going on with the Old Fashioned Football Podcast in honor of the NFL Draft, which is right around the corner. In fact, next week, the Old Fashioned Football guys are giving away some autographed merch. Make sure you head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest to enter today. And also, the Stanley Cup playoffs are also starting next week, I believe. Maybe this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Scott, you could correct me on that if I'm wrong. Make sure you guys check out the guys over at the Hockey Gambling Podcast. They've got you covered. Talon, Ryan, and Joel are breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games, and we'll keep the picks and laughs coming all postseason long. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you do get your podcast. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Play their pick 'em game. It's as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix match across your other favorite sports, and you can win up to 100 times your money. It's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Stay tuned at the end of the episode. We'll see if there's lines available or entries available for the play-in tournament game between the Heat and the Bulls. But new customers can get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the entire NBA playoffs. So if you haven't already signed up, now is to do the time. And their pick'em, and there is a pick'em special for the Friday play-in tournament game on April 19th with a player to be determined. This special should go live in the lobby for eligible new customers that sign up by the morning of April 18th. So again, if you're listening to this right now, and if you are, or if you don't already have an account with Underdog Fantasy, now is the time to do it. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBASGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy using promo code NBASGPN. All right, Scott, let's get into this play-in tournament game between the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. We just broke it down for these two teams as they are coming off of their victories on Wednesday night. They'll be facing off in Miami on the Friday night, like I mentioned. And currently, the line is in favor slightly to the Miami Heat, the home team here, as a -1.5 point home favorite. Total right now is sitting at 208. Just mentioned Jimmy Butler. We'll be out for this game. We'll see if Terry Rozier or Duncan Robinson do go in this game for the Miami Heat. For the Chicago Bulls, pretty clean injury report. The usual suspects are going to be missing, the guys that are done for the season. But outside of that, everybody should be a go in this game between these two teams. Scott, let's start with the spread here. -1.5 in favor of the Miami Heat. What are you thinking?
This is kind of the exact same game as the Kings-Pelicans game that I covered with Terrell, because you have a spot where the home team is a slight favorite, but you're missing their best player. So the question is, do you want to actually take the team at home, or do you think a road team actually wins one of these 8-9 games for once? Could go either way. I know it's a rematch of last year. The Bulls had them and let them off the hook because they were up with like 2 minutes to go, choked it, and then you ended up seeing Miami make the NBA Finals. I'm going to lean Chicago in this one. Now, I think Atlanta's a fake basketball team. In hindsight, I can't believe I actually leaned to them. I know they were getting points in that game, but I must be out of my mind. At least my favorite play was the over. At least
yeah,
that
I was
got there.
Mention that.
The over at least worked out, because Atlanta I knew wasn't going to guard anybody. But I do think Chicago offensively can give Miami problems. Now, defensively, Miami's going to try their zone. They're going to try to give you different looks. Miami's just terrible offensively. Now, if Rozier comes back and he plays well, that's one thing. He's off a neck injury. He hasn't played in about a week. Duncan Robinson is clearly injured. So if he does play, I don't know how many minutes he's going to play. I think he was technically active yesterday. He just ended up not playing. So clearly Spo didn't like what he saw in the shoot around or maybe in the practices, because I think you agree with me. Robinson was not officially inactive. He just got sat by the coaching staff, right?
I thought I saw a note that he was going to be out yesterday, but let me double check that. And maybe they didn't like what they saw from him.
I thought they said he'd be available for like limited minutes, and then he ended up just not playing. So I'm assuming that he was actually in like bad shape.
Let me see if I can go back and find it, because I thought I saw a note about him. There's one more injury that we didn't talk about for the Chicago Bulls that's probably significant, but we can mention that. Yeah, so he did say Duncan Robinson won't have a minutes limit on Wednesday, so he didn't.
He won't have
playing
a minutes limit.
Yeah, so he didn't end up playing at all.
Clearly the injury's there. So even if Duncan Robinson plays, I'm not sure how effective he's going to be in general. Rozier, I care about the most because he can actually create off the dribble. And without Butler, they have no shot creators on the entire roster besides Hero. And we saw what happened yesterday with Hero, where he was just extremely inefficient. I think there's a lot of reasons to actually like the Bulls. Maybe there's a chip on their shoulder because they should have beaten this Miami team last year. Miami will get the reputation, and a lot of people will take them because they're playoff Miami, and Spoelstra's going to find a way, and they're going to do a bunch of stuff. But you're really going down the line, and based on what Coby White did in the last game and DeRozan in the playoffs, or DeRozan just in general, I'm assuming you'd agree that Chicago has the best two scorers in this game, correct? Is Coby White ahead of Hero right now for scoring? You can make the argument.
Yeah. But also the fact like they played Atlanta. Like that.
Atlanta, I know, is a fake team. Like, I get it. But yeah. I'm just saying, I do think losing to the same team last year matters. Maybe you think it doesn't, but we know Chicago never trades anybody. So it's basically the entire roster from last year. Basically. They were here. Yeah. They lost to this team in a game they probably should have won. And Levine's not there to drag them down. So we'll see what happens. But I think for this one, I'm actually going to lean to Chicago. I think that everyone's going to take Spoelstra in an elimination game because of, I don't know, aura and reputation. I think Chicago right now is the better team because Miami's missing Butler and a lot of their guys are injured. They're really just limping to the finish line. So I'm going to lean Chicago here. I think DeRozan and Coby White can have big games. I thought Drummond was actually really good last night. I was questioning if he was going to play because he was banged up. I think he can have some success against the bench unit for Miami, especially on the boards. I'm not a Vucevic guy. It's well documented. He can't shoot from the outside, but he was good last night. Once again, it was against Miami, but he ended up going, I think it was 24-12 in that game yesterday. Chicago looked good, and I think that you're looking at a team that might have a chip on their shoulder. I'm going to link to Chicago.
Yeah, these two teams matched up four times during the regular season, split it 2-2.
So
yeah.
Bulls every meeting, by the way, was in 2023. The last meeting was December 16th. So yeah. You might have to toss all four meetings in the garbage, but I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah. Miami was 1-3 against the spread, 3-1 to the over as well. So I think for me, I want to lean with the Bulls here and take the points and take them on the money line. But we didn't even mention that Alex Caruso is probably going to be out for this game as well.
That's a good point.
He didn't play that entire fourth quarter, and he has a significant foot sprain is what it's classified as right now. So defensively, they will be without their best, obviously, defender, perimeter defender at least, in Alex Caruso in this game. So, again, if I want to see if Terry Rozier ends up playing in this game, because that may sway me a little bit here, because that's again that gives Miami another option for scoring next to Tyler Hero. But I'll lean with the Bulls here. I think they're playing some great team basketball. I think DeMar DeRozan has another great game from the mid range. I don't think Coby White will repeat his performance, but he does have the hot hand right now. He's playing with a lot of confidence as well.
I think we'd agree he's the real most improved. He's not going to win. They're going to give it to Maxi. I saw somebody talk about that in the comment section before. All the votes are in already. They were in on the last day of the regular season.
Right. Yeah.
So all the playoff stuff has nothing to do with the awards.
Yeah.
I think Maxi's going to win most improved. I don't think he's actually that improved. I just think Harden left and he got a bigger role on the team. Coby White is easily the most improved. Coby White's actually a solid basketball player now.
We also say that Coby White stepped up to the occasion because Zach LaVine wasn't there. And Zach LaVine also... True.
Yeah, but we already knew Maxie was good. I think we thought Coby White was a bench player. Now he's actually like a legitimate starter. I think Coby White's most improved, but he's not going to win.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if he'll be able to repeat that performance. I mean, going 15 of 21, but I do think that, again, he could have that success again as well. So I'll lean with the Bulls here, plus the points and on the money line as well. But I still think I'm going to – I like the over in this game of 208. And you're without Jimmy Butler, who's a great defensive player. He hasn't done a lot offensively for you. And you're also, the Bulls are going to be without Alex Caruso, their best perimeter defender, like I mentioned. So you have two key defensive players that may be out. And if Terry Rozier comes back, I don't think he plays a whole heck of a lot of defense, but that only helps the offense as well for the Miami Heat. So I'll be on the over in this game of 208 here, Scott. Do you have any thoughts on the total?
I think I have to lean under. Even though Butler was phenomenal defensively, especially with steals last night, and Caruso's a good on-ball defender, we know this probably first-team All-NBA for defense, or first-team All-Defense, I mean. Just watching Miami play, they were playing prison ball last night. It was a really ugly game. They tried to get it in the half court, and they were just chucking up bricks because they had no idea how to run an offensive set. They did not get really any good looks on a consistent basis for the entire game. I don't know how many shot creators they actually have. Rozier's neck's clearly bothering him. I'm not sure Duncan Robinson can move. Hero, we know, is inefficient as a number one. Bam did nothing offensively last night. There's really not much to like, if anything, to like about Miami offensively. Hawk has put up 15. Yes, he had some mistakes down the stretch. He was one of their better offensive players in the game yesterday. I'll take his points over again because it was 6.5, and I laughed myself to the bank in that game yesterday. But I'm going to lean under. Miami went into the game and said, we're playing prison rules. We're going to basically try to tackle everybody. We're going to hold you off screens. We're going to do everything that we possibly can to resemble 90s, early 2000 basketball. And the refs aren't going to call anything. And like, I respect it. That's what they were trying to do. It's how they made the game competitive. But if the refs are going to let Miami get away with murder on all these possessions, I'm taking the under. And the only reason why the game went over was because you had 30-plus points in the final 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
I think that Miami decided, and I think Spo realized, we're not that talented. We have to make the game as ugly as possible. And they did. They were extremely physical. They tried to make the game extremely ugly. And as a result, the game was a rock fight for about three quarters. Now, both offenses went crazy in the final quarter. You had a bunch of free throws and a lot of really just solid shot making from Philly, especially in the last couple minutes. But in reality, I think Miami realizes we're not that talented. Now Butler's out. We have to win by playing great defense, being extremely physical, and daring the refs to actually make foul calls. I'm going to lean to the under. This is Miami's identity. I'll keep backing it. Give me the under.
I think it was, I want to say Tony Brothers was on the call last night, and we know that he doesn't blow, if I'm not mistaken, for the game between the Heat and Sixers.
And that was also... I mean, that's why a lot of people were mad at the off the ball foul on the inbound, because Miami was getting away with murder the entire game, and how there was a certain physicality that was clearly present from the opening tip, because you had like 30 something points in the first 11 minutes of the game. You could tell that both teams weren't being allowed to come off screens without being grabbed, and nobody called anything. And then you call that play, which was pretty standard throughout the entire game. I understand the points you're making with the injuries, but just based on Miami's overall identity and how they played the game last night, I think Spo realizes he has to make this game as ugly as possible. I really don't want an over.
It always comes down to that that final minute where I understand, like you said, that 30-plus points was scored in the, what, final 3 minutes there?
Yeah, I think it was like 32 points.
I feel like that could happen. I mean, I don't think that's something that could happen again, because this is like the ultimate desperation spot world. Maybe you see a little bit more fouling towards the end in case it's not, you know, a blowout. Maybe it's like a 5 to 6 or 7 point possession game that they maybe start fouling a little bit early, and that kind of gets it over the total there. So, it just makes me nervous that, again, when you don't have two top defenders, and if they do, again, a lot of this for me hinges on if they get Terry Rozier back. But how effective is he going to be is also going to be the question for this Miami Heat team. But I think Chicago, they have a good offensive flow right now. And again, I understand it was against Atlanta, the worst defensive team in the entire league, but I feel like they can still have success against Miami Heat defense. Going into this game. So I'll stick with the over here at 208. Don't see any player props up right now, Scott, for this game. Obviously, you know, with the injury news to Jimmy Butler, and they're probably waiting for the news for Terry Rozier as well. And then for the Bulls side, Alex Caruso, I think more than likely is not going to be playing in this game for the Chicago Bulls. So no player props up just yet. But anything else you want to mention for this game?
Trying to think if there's anything I really want to mention, because I don't know who's going to play in this game, especially for Miami. I already mentioned Hawkes points. I do think that you're going to want to target Miami players that actually attack the rim, because we know Vucevic gives you no rim protection at all. So I think Hawkes can capitalize on that if he does play a decent amount of minutes in this game. He might, but for Miami, I'm going to have to wait and see who plays. I just don't see much value. Maybe if you want to go for like Caleb Martin rebounds. I know that he was a great rebounder in the playoffs last year. Now Butler's out, so you're assuming Martin's going to play a bunch of minutes in this game, probably with Hawkes. So I think you might want to just target in on maybe Martin rebounds and maybe Hawkes points if you want to go for Miami. For Chicago, I feel like you, Capper, kind of touched on it a second ago. The Bulls really love to rely on mid-range jumpers and attacking the paint. So maybe you want Bam blocks in this game, just letting him patrol the middle, trying to just punt whatever shot comes near him at the rim. Maybe you want to look for Coby White to duplicate what he did in the game yesterday, but I think he's right. I think Chicago is going to stick with their game plan, try to stick with the mid-range, stick with getting downhill. That does benefit Bam blocks, but I do think maybe if you want to go for DeRozan, all his numbers are inflated, though. Like, that's the problem with DeRozan, because he is a playoff multiplier, and I'm trying to figure out where the value is going to be, because I'm assuming that Coby White's points are going to be skyrocketed after what happened in the last game. So yeah. I don't know where the value is for Chicago.
I think for the Bulls, for the Heat side, I do like Bam on his points. I think this is a really good matchup for him. He's going to have to show up without Baller. Yeah, plays a whole heck of a lot of defense, but you also take a look historically, Bam against the Bulls, just over the last four games, 27, 23, 24, 23. Three out of those four games, he also did have a double-double for the Miami Heat. And like you mentioned, without Jimmy Butler, he's really going to have to step up in this spot. And we've seen him do that multiple times without Jimmy Butler on the floor. So depending on what the number comes out for him, I would probably guess around 20 and a half in that range for Bam Adebayo. I don't hate him to have a big scoring night here for the Miami Heat. Anything else for this game?
Not really. Once again, I'll wait for some injury news, but
yeah,
I'm going to lean under. I'll lean to the Bulls. Am I going to bet the Bulls in this game? No, because that involves putting money on Billy Donovan in a big game. But
yeah,
I just think Miami is a team that's kind of coasting in reputation right now, because you looked at that game last night. Yes, I know Philly's a good defensive team, but there were a lot of moments you were watching Miami offensively just going, do they have any talent on the side of the ball? And I didn't see much of it last night. So we'll wait to see if Rozier plays. We'll wait to see if Duncan Robinson plays. I'm not sure how effective either of them are going to be. But damn, Miami looked awful offensively last night.
Yeah. So we'll see what adjustments that Coach Spoelstra does make going into this game against the Chicago Bulls. So another series that did get confirmed last night, Scott, that is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. They are going to be the seventh seed. They are going to take on the New York Knicks in that 2-7 matchup in the Eastern Conference. And looking at the series prices for this matchup, I'm currently seeing the Sixers are a slight favorite here, minus 115 currently over on DraftKings. Knicks are minus 105. On the series price here. Right now, the series spread, Knicks -1.5 is at plus 140. Sorry, Knicks -1.5 is plus 210. Sixers -1.5 is plus 140. And +1.5 for the Knicks, minus 170. And +1.5 for the Sixers, minus 265. We'll talk about all that in a minute here. But 2-7 matchup here. Knicks, we already mentioned that they will be without Julius Randle. Did get OG Anunoby back. So, I mean, Jalen Brunson, OG, Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein, all those guys are a go for this game. And we'll see if the health and I think more so the conditioning for Joel Embiid can hold up in this series. And do the role players for the Sixers continue to have success? I don't expect Kelly Oubre to look like Steph Curry out there again, but can other guys like Buddy Hield, Kelly Oubre step up, and do we see improvement from Tyrese Maxey in this series? But right now it's minus 115 currently over on DraftKings. Again, definitely shop around for the best price on who you do like for this series here, Scott. But what do you think of this matchup between the Sixers and the Knicks?
Yeah, I'm going to start this off with a question. Maybe it's rhetorical. Maybe it's for you. You could answer it if you want to. Did you see anything from last night's game that tells you Philly should be favored over the Knicks?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you see?
I saw that historically this, and I mentioned that we were talking about the Sixers game, is that players outside of Joel Embiid, and we mentioned that he did have a great fourth quarter where he made some key plays, but different guys were able to step up in different spots for the Sixers team to help them not only come back in this game, but also propel them to the victory, right? superstar players and star players and all-star players like Joel Embiid, is there were that fourth quarter in those final minutes where they really need to step up. And Joel Embiid was able to do that. But we talked about Nick Batum, right? He was able to make the key defensive plays and knock down some, you know, clutch three-point shots to bring his team back in this game, or bring the Sixers back in this game and eventually give them the lead there as well. But also, Nick, I think Nick Nurse did a good job of managing the rotations, because there was a point where the Sixers, they came back in the game, they gave the lead back to the Miami Heat, and then he inserted Joel Embiid back into this game. And then Joel Embiid did Joel Embiid things to get his team to the victory. So I think when I'm really talking about who I'm looking at as far as supporting cast that can do it on both sides, I understand the argument for the New York Knicks here as well. I think if Julius Randle was playing in this series, I think they would probably be favored. If I don't know what you think, if the Knicks, if Julius Randle was there. But I think the Sixers, maybe based on reputation or just having a star player, superstar player in Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, I think that's why they may be favored in this series.
It also might be based on coaching. You mentioned Nurse. Thibodeau's never been a good playoff coach. We've seen him lose in, I think, the first two rounds basically every year. I think he made the Eastern Conference Finals with Derrick Rose once, and then Miami LeBron happened. But you get my point. He's not exactly had many, if any, deep runs in the playoffs before. I'm going to lean Knicks in this one. I do think the wrong team is favored. I know that Embiid was good down the stretch. Still wasn't exactly encouraged by him limping up and down the floor the entire game. I think that's going to be a bit of a problem. Maxey was not particularly efficient last night. He was fine, I guess. Batum was great, though. I feel like that's the problem that I have. Batum had, I don't want to call it the game of a lifetime because he's been around for a long time, but Batum basically saved the entire team yesterday. And a lot of Philly's main offensive pieces kind of no-showed a decent portion of that game. Buddy Hield, I think, at 7 points. He had some assists involved, but he did not shoot the ball well. Embiid did not shoot the ball well for the first three quarters or so. Got going in the last 3 minutes, so I'll give him props. But I'm going to go Knicks in this series, especially at even money. You're going to give me a team with home court advantage, a team that's actually pretty good. They were the 2 seed in the East. Now, the East, I think, is weak because in most years, I don't think this Knicks team would be good enough to be a 2 seed. And the argument is that Philly should be the 2 seed if Embiid was healthy the entire season. But I think that's why people want to take Philly. It's because Philly's misseeded because Embiid missed a bunch of time and they were trending to be the 2 seed. I think that's why people are taking Philly. I disagree. I think that New York supporting cast is better than Philly's. You can argue that Embiid's the best player on the court, but with the injury Embiid's dealing with, I think Brunson's the best player on the court, because I think Embiid's playing at like 50, 60% health, and it's probably going to get worse over the course of the series because the Knicks are very physical. They're going to throw Mitchell Robinson. They're going to throw Hartenstein at him. There's going to be some issues. There's going to be some problems for Embiid, I'd say physically, throughout the course of the series. And I think the Knicks are ready to take it. So I'm going to take the Knicks here. I think the Knicks are in line to put together a good showing. Do I think the Knicks are going to make a serious deep run, represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals? I didn't say all that. But I do think they're good enough to beat Philly. I think it's a competitive series. I think it's going to be a long series. Give me Knicks in 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Sixers here. I just think that, again, they are the more talented team in this series. I understand. I think it's a coaching mismatch as well. I don't trust Thibodeau in the playoffs to make those adjustments because he's kind of stubborn headed. But he's going to drive
his talented team, though. I understand at full strength, they're definitely the more talented team. What do you think Embiid's at right now? 50%?
Yeah, I would say like maybe 50 to 60%.
So do you think with that, they are still the more overall talented team than New York? Because I don't know if I agree with you.
But the thing for me is that, who is the second consistent scorer after Jalen Brunson on this team for the New York Knicks?
Probably DiVincenzo, who shot like 40%+ from three and attempted a bunch of threes.
Yeah, and that's telling right there for me. Like, if you're relying on, and again, I think he's a great role player, but if in a playoff series, if you're relying and if you're relying on DiVincenzo to be your second consistent score behind Jalen Brunson, I think that is one red flag for me for sure. I think Maxey rises to his occasion here in this series. And I also think that this is an opportunity for, again, guys like, and I keep on going back to Buddy Hield. I'm not even going to talk about Tobias Harris because I don't think he's going to do much of anything. Okay. At this point, I think Nick Nurse should probably just sit him and just limit his minutes and get guys out that they're actually doing something. And again, case in point last night, he had a great rebounding night last night, did Tobias Harris, but offensively, he really needs to contribute. There's a 1 3-pointer he shot. It hit the side of the backboard. The side backboard next to the rim. It wasn't even close.
For the record, by the way, Tobias's rebounds were inflated because he missed about 4 tip-ins on that one possession in the second
quarter.
So he did get like 3-4 rebounds on that one trip. So I am to throw that out there.
Yeah. And I understand the Knicks, right? They were one of the best, if not the best defensive team in the entire league this season. And at the end of the day, I still think you have to put up points to win ball games. And I think that when it comes down to it, offensively, I trust the Sixers more because I feel like they have a little bit more scoring options versus where it's Jalen Brunson. And then it's a significant fall off down to DiVincenzo. I mean, who's even after that? I mean,
I'm a big Josh Hart guy.
Yeah, I know Josh Hart, but I don't think like, defensively, I think he's absolutely fantastic. But when it comes to offense and scoring, like, I would rather rely on the guys that the Philadelphia 76ers have. So, and I think this is going to be one of those series that could also go 6 to 7 games. So this is going to be a fun series to watch for sure. So I'm going to go with the Sixers here on the series here for them to beat the Knicks. Series
if we're picking a close series, by the way, I do want the game 7 at home in my back pocket. So that's also why I'm leaning Knicks. I do like the idea. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to kill this team. Mm-hmm. I think the series are going to be close, maybe 6 games, maybe 7 games. But I do really want that home court advantage in my back pocket, especially at even money. It's basically even money, which I think is a pretty good deal.
All right. Series props, anything you're looking at as far as series spread, total games, exact outcome, anything like that?
I thought about taking the Knicks to win game 1 and the series, but that's only like plus 155. I'm not sure if that's even worth it at this point. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think of something. Of course, the value, if you do like the Knicks, is going to be on an alt spread. It's going to be on Knicks 1.5. It's going to be on something with the Knicks winning by margin. The thing is, the more that I think about the series, and you brought it up, the less I feel great about the Knicks winning by a large margin. I still think the wrong team's favored in the series. I think it's disrespectful to the Knicks. I think the idea that this team's a 2-seed with home court, and we saw Embiid kind of crawling out there for about, I don't know, 44 of the 48 minutes last night, doesn't instill much confidence in me to actually, I'd say, have faith in betting the Sixers to win a playoff series. Mm-hmm. I'd rather pick the Knicks, so I do think the value's on New York. The question is, though, looking at these potential alt spreads, do I really think the Knicks win in 6 with winning a road game in Philly? I mean, maybe, but it's plus 210. Like, I don't mind the value there, but I don't feel great about it. I mean, Knicks to win first game and to win the series is about plus 170. Do I think the Knicks can win the series if they lose game 1 at home? I think they can. Mm-hmm. I've seen Philly blow a bunch of home playoff games before. It was with Doc Rivers, but the point is, we know Embiid can occasionally, maybe more than occasionally, no-show playoff game, especially when he's injured. So do I think the Knicks win the series by margin? Maybe. Do I think the Knicks can win the series if they lose game 1? Yes. But I do think the Knicks probably win game 1, and I think Embiid's going to look a little bit shaky physically.
Yeah.
I do not mind Knicks to win game 1 and win the series at plus 170.
Yeah, I mean, that -1.5 on the Knicks, what was it you say? It was plus 210. I don't think they win in 5 games. I mean, if you want to take exact outcome, Knicks in 6 is plus 650. I think that's a whole hell of a lot of better deal. And if you want to take Knicks in 7, plus 360 is there as well. So, nothing really excited me about some of these prices. I mean, if you want to take a look at Knicks, since I'm on the Sixers here, Knicks to win game 1 and then Philly to win the series, that's at plus 280. I mean, that would be worth a look. Right now, the favorite for the exact outcome, Sixers in 6 is around plus, I think it was plus 280. I'm trying to go back and see if I can find it here. Sixers and six are plus 310 for the exact outcome there. So nothing really exciting. I'll just be on these Sixers for the series here at minus 115. I'll probably jump in on them on game two to win the series, because I do think that the Knicks will win game one. Right now, that line is at minus 3 right now for game one in favor of the Knicks in the Madison Square Garden. We'll get to game one picks tomorrow's show with Scott and Terrell. So stay tuned for that for tomorrow. But nothing else really excited me. Maybe I'll wait for some serious player props to drop when that does come out. But other than that, nothing really stood out to me. Have anything else that you like for the series?
I'm going to wait for the actual player props to drop in the series. I do like Brunson to lead the series in points per game, because I think most people will take Embiid. I think he's very compromised physically, and I think the Knicks actually have the bodies to make Embiid work for his points. I don't really like Philly's perimeter defense. Maxey, we know, is not a great defensive player. Is Buddy Hield a good defensive player? Not really. Mm-hmm. I'll see what the odds are, but if Embiid is favored to lead the series in points per game, I'll take Brunson at what could be a slight amount of plus money.
Yeah, I'm expecting a huge series from Jalen Brunson. I mean, the guy is absolutely fantastic. He's just so fun to watch. He just makes a game look so easy as well. We saw it, you know, we he was with Dallas, and Luka had missed those first couple of games against Utah, was it? Jalen Brunson really rose to the occasion. So I think it'll be a great series between these two teams. I think the books are expecting this one to go at least 6 or 7 games here for sure. Just reflected on the odds right now, it's just close to a pick 'em. But definitely looking forward to this series in the Eastern Conference. I think this one probably ends up being one of the more competitive ones, outside of maybe Pacers and Bucks. We'll wait for the Giannis news, obviously, if he does come back for games 3 or 4 for the Bucks at that point. I think that's it, Scott. We recap the Eastern Conference play-in tournament games, broke down the 8-seed game, and then we just broke down Knicks versus Sixers 2-7 matchup.
Throw one thing quickly. You were wondering, I forgot to mention this for some of the other competitive series, if you do think the home team wins every game in the series, not saying it's going to happen, but if it ends up going 7, and I think we'd agree the series should be competitive, if the home team wins every game, Knicks win the first 2 games, Sixers win the next 2 games, then you alternate the last 3 with the Knicks eventually winning in game 7. It is 30-1.
Okay.
If you wanted the exact result of every game, just throwing it out there, the home team to win every game and the Knicks to win in 7 is 30-1. If you wanted it, just throwing it out there.
I think the old cliche goes that the series doesn't start until a team wins a road game. So we'll see if one of these teams are able to.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but 30-1 for what we think should be a competitive series. Yeah. If you think the home teams dominate, that's an approach you can have.
All right. All right, Scott, let's give a lock or a best bet for the Bulls in the Heat game. I know there's not player props available, so maybe I don't know if we can give a dog or anything like that, but you want to give us like a best bet for the Bulls in the Heat game?
I really wanted the player props. I just want to take Hawkes again. Guy had 15
points. I really wanted Bam as well, but it's just not posted right now.
It's not going to be posted, but I'm trying to think of who would be inserted into the starting lineup. Rozier, assuming that he's back, should be the point guard. So that's going to move Hero to the 2. And then you're looking at Martin's going to be in the starting lineup because he always is. And then you have to wonder about that power forward spot. Is Duncan Robinson going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? I don't know if he can move.
So FanDuel has points or they have props up for this game.
Oh, they do? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we actually have something to talk about. All right.
Yeah. So Jaime Jaquez is at 13.5 minus 128 for his points prop.
I mean, I got to be tempted by that over.
15 plus 105.
He had 15 in that game yesterday, but now you got no Butler. There's a bunch of shots to go around. I don't know if Rozier is going to play with the neck issue. I don't know how long Robinson's going to play. It's a red flag, though, isn't it, that he allegedly had no minute restriction and Spo decided, you know what, Duncan, you're not going to play tonight. That's probably not a good sign. going right to the second play-in game?
No.
So is that a move? Take Duncan Robinson under and just hope that he barely plays in the game? That could be a move if there's props available for him?
No props for
Duncan.
They have DeMar, Kobe, Vucevic. Three guys for the Bulls, and they have Bam, Jaime Jaquez, Nikola Jovic, and Tyler Hero up for the Miami Heat, which
he actually might start. Jovic technically started the game yesterday. He didn't do much, but he technically might start in that game.
Yeah, he had 5 points, five rebounds, 2 of 2, yeah. 1 of 1 from three. He only played 14 minutes, so I don't see an uptick from him. But again, it's just all of it depends on if Terry Rozier plays for this Miami Heat team or not. But even then, I still think it's all Tyler Hero just based on shot volume alone. Like even last night with Jimmy Butler, he had 27 shot attempts and only made 9. So I think he's still going to be in that neighborhood of 25 to 30 shots in this game against the Chicago Bulls. So, I mean, you probably want to look at his points to go over or his PRA to go over. PRA for Tyler Hero is at 36.5. His points alone, I believe, would probably be like around 25.5. Let me see. 23.5 is a number for his points. I wouldn't be all on the over for that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I thought about taking Bam blocks as my favorite play, but I don't see any lines on that, so I don't know if I can actually get it. Jovic played 14 minutes, though, and his points props at 7.5. I guess the argument is with Butler being out, they're going to put all hands on deck and trying to manufacture minutes, but I don't know what role Jovic even has.
Yeah,
like I don't in this know series, like or in this game. Like I think his point total is too high at 7.5. DeRozan's at 27.5. That I can't take. Kobe White's at 20.5. That could be intriguing. Hero for volume makes sense. He also had 9 assists, by the way. So if you do want Hero, his assists are at 5.5. Really? I might take that. That might be my favorite play.
I think PA Hero for him 5.5 is a good look.
He had 9 yesterday, even with shooting 27 times.
29.5 is his points and assists for this game.
The concern is if Rozier plays, he might have the ball less.
Yeah.
5.5 assists is pretty low for a guy that's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. I might throw out a couple of plays. I do kind of like the under in this game. Once again, just expecting Miami to make the game as ugly as possible. Maybe first quarter under and just expect a rock fight out of the gate. I wouldn't mind that either. Hero assist does look low. People are going to be so focused on those 27 shot attempts, they're going to ignore the 9 assists that he had. I'll go with Hero over 5.5 assists at like basically minus 104.
All right. I'm trying to see. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Bam on his points and rebounds in this game. I mean, I mentioned it against the Bulls. He's had a lot of success. Let me check the exact numbers here. Like I mentioned, so 3 out of 4 games, and the last 3 out of 4 head-to-head games against the Bulls, 27. He scored a minimum of 23, and then he's had a double-double in 3 out of 4 games as well. And his points and rebounds right now are at, let's see, 33.5. And he's gone over this number in 3 out of the last 4 games. The one game he didn't, he only ended up with 7 rebounds. But I do think that he can definitely have another double-digit rebounding night for the Miami Heat. So it's tough to make a side call, obviously, with still question marks about some of the injuries, especially for Miami. But I think as far as a player prop, I would love Bam here on his points and rebounds to go over the number of 33.5.
I like the blocks, but I don't see a line on that either.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Scott, before we close it out here?
No, not really. So I guess my best bet, I mentioned Hero. I really do like that under, though. But yeah, I think I'll just go with Hero. I think people are going to be distracted by the points or the shot attempts, and they're not going to realize he also had 9 assists. So yeah. There you go.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Broke down the play, the 8 seed matchup between the Bulls and the Heat, and then previewed the Knicks and the Sixers series. And then once we find out who will be the official 8 seed for the Eastern and Western Conference, we'll have that series broken down for the 1-8 matchup in respective conferences, as well as game 1 best bets tomorrow on the show with Scott and Terrell. So look out for us then. Make sure to follow Scott on Twitter. That's at Rice Show Radio. You can follow me there as well at SportsNerd824. More importantly, make sure you guys hit that like button on your way out. And if you haven't already subscribed to the NBA Gambling Podcast YouTube channel, please go ahead and do so. Would definitely appreciate if you guys would be able to do that for us. Scott, anything else you want to mention before we're out of here?
No, not really. Once again, looking forward to the remaining playoff games or play-in games, whatever you want to call it. A little bit weird. We have no games tonight. I kind of was hoping they would put the Western Conference game tonight and the Eastern Conference game on Friday, but I guess they really want the Friday action. So we got no games tonight. So yeah, pretty weird night for basketball, but we'll be back.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Friday, both games for the 8th seed, and then we'll start with game ones officially on Saturday.
You like starting. It, or would you rather have one game tonight, one game tomorrow?
I would rather have had one and one, but I understand why it's on Friday. Not a lot going on Friday night.
Going on tonight anyway, but I think it's based on just, there's actually less going on today because baseball only has like five games. But
yeah,
I think it's just based on weekend viewership. Most people are free Friday nights compared to Thursday nights, I guess, and they just want people to watch it. But I would have divided it up. I would have had one game on each night, but I guess when you're doing TV coverage on ESPN or TNT, you really want that back-to-back game coverage.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, like I mentioned. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna